We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. What a Tobin Petty porn it was, seeing the back of the Daily News. It was delicious. Did you guys see this?
The Gaze article?
Oh, yeah.
Your boy Meta?
That dude Meta. Let me tell you something. That guy's a bad friend. He flip-flopped so hard on Adam Gaze. He was out, then he's in, then he's so out after 1 week. Hey, that guy's easily swayed. Because that dude was a show pony for Adam Gaze this entire summer. Oh, no, offensive guru. The guy, he did the Peyton Manning thing. He did the whole shebang. He played the greatest hits. Greatest hits to convince you that Adam Gase was a good coach. And then one time Adam Gase tells you that he knows nothing, that tells these reporters that they know nothing and that he's the head coach. Oh, they flipped on him so fast. And so today's headline in the Daily News. Ready for this one, Leroy?
Ready.
Adam Gase needs to grow up, learn from his mistakes, and stop blaming players. Woo! Welcome to Adam Gase world, Manish. That's how he is. Get ready for your next 3 years, because that's how it's going to be. I don't know. Maybe if they have a really terrible year, he'll get fired after one. Because, like, he shouldn't get the new coach smell. He's already been a coach. He should get 1 year. Really, you should get 1 year as a make good. No extra time. No time to draft a new quarterback, because that'll be the move. If he can't fix Sam Darnold, he's going to say, listen, this Sam Darnold's not the truth. We need to go get ourselves a new quarterback.
What's wrong with Sam? Nothing was ever wrong with Sam Darnold.
What do you mean?
It's fine.
But he wasn't great this weekend.
No.
And, yeah. you know, Adam Gase, this is now the second young quarterback prospect that he's had. And, you know, the guy's still just kind of the same. And, by the way, this while having the best running back in the league.
All right. 1 week, man.
Oh, I know. Leroy, that's what makes it funny. No. Because they're telling him to grow up. Hey, he's Peter Pan. He's never growing up.
First week of the season. Relax.
It's hard to relax, man. This has been a really drastic football season. There's been so much going on. I mean, we had the Dolphins. They gave up 60 points.
You ain't telling me nothing. I don't know. It's brutal.
No. Don't be so negative about it. We got ourselves the plan going right in full force.
How about this? Mm-hmm. I was trying to put the Dolphins loss in perspective. I went one season where if you added the total of all the losses,
yeah,
it wouldn't add up to 49 points.
Like the point differential?
Yes.
Wow. What did you go that year?
16-2.
What? You're talking about the playoff year?
Yeah.
Man.
We lost 30-27, and we lost like 20-17.
Jesus.
A whole year. I've never lost a game like that in my life. Mm-hmm. Pee wee, high school, college. Although it was kind of close to that one preseason game when. Warren Moon came into town and in a preseason game they scored like 59.
You know what's
odd? That doesn't count though.
You know, like how you're talking about like the Belichick, like you guys would run the hill and all that stuff and crazy stuff during the year. Like I'm sure after you guys got drubbed, he was extra hard in practice. Like
it was camp, so it didn't matter. We still had 2 days. We went.
But what about like in season?
In season, like, here's how it worked.
Would he go hard at you?
Here's how it worked. It was. An incentive laden practice season. So if you won a couple of games in a row, right? No practice on Monday, see you on Wednesday. If you struggled and weren't, say if you got outplayed, but everybody showed effort and whatever, just have a regular week. If nobody was prepared or it looked like you didn't know what you were doing, then that's pads on Friday.
Ooh.
Right. So.
Well, the reason I asked the question is, can Brian Flores even do anything like that these days?
No. Oh, you're limited by how many padded practices you can have during the year. You're limited by which is fine.
Because no, it's fine, but I wonder from a coach's standpoint. Like, I know a lot of coaches are going to go by discipline and repetition. Like, you know, like Manny Diaz.
You can still work them hard without putting them in pads.
I guess, but I think the old school way is they would probably put them in pads, right?
Oh, yeah.
So,
you have, like normally
there
in the middle.
There wasn't going to be any tackling mess-ups.
Normally in the middle of the season, well, you never tackle in practice, so scratch that.
Still thudding?
But normally in practice, like, you would do, like, your 9-on-7 drills. You would never do them, you know, like full go.
Right.
But say if a coach got mad, he go ones against ones just on Wednesday.
Oklahoma drill?
Not Oklahoma drill.
Big Cane?
They don't do that.
Big Cane drill?
Big Cane drill. How's that working?
The 0-2 drill.
That's a point. That's a point.
Point for Robbie!
Yeah.
All right, so here's Goran Dragic before we get to headlines. Here's what he had to say. He was asked about the miscommunication that led to the Mavericks removing themselves from a trade for Dragic, which was a trade that seemed to make all the sense in the world, because if Goran was not going to be here, I don't think there's a place that makes more sense for him than going to play with his little protege in Dallas. I mean, mm-hmm. They had all of Slovenia here for a game in Miami, and it was beautiful. I mean, Goran kicked his ass that game. It was great. But here's Goran. He goes, "Listen. If I'm honest, I did not hear about trade. I heard about it after a little bit because of what was going on, but I was asleep, man. I was sleeping. I didn't know what's going on. So, of course, next morning, I received lots of texts, and it was a little bit crazy because first, you don't know if deal went through or not. So a lot of my friends called me. They were asking, but I did not have clue because I had just woke up. I was sleepy. I was counting sheep. I go, one sheep, two sheep, three sheep, four sheep, five sheep, six sheep, seven sheep. And then I go, Snide Nights, because seven's my number. Dragon, it's the magic number to make me go snooze. So, you know, trade goes through and doesn't go through. And I didn't speak with anybody, not the agent, not with Heat. I just let it go. I can't believe that. He just let it go? How is that possible?
That's how you handle things when all your money's guaranteed.
I guess so.
I'm serious.
I guess I'm still in the Heat.
Whatever.
I kind of feel like, you know me, if I found out that people were trying to get rid of me, and you were trying to trade me, and I found out, like, if I was going to be like, he sees Pat, he goes, "You bastard." Like, I would just be mother bleeping him all over the place, or giving him side eye, and be like, if it was Spoelstra, he'd be like, "Oh, listen, look who's still here. Starting point guard job, not so easy to give to Justice now, huh?" Like, just, what if Goran just becomes a malcontent this year?
His personality doesn't seem, it would be.
It would just be great. Right. He kicks over the water cooler.
Somebody chimes in, "Hey, if you can't tackle in practice, how are they supposed to get better at tackling? And you can't play football every day of the week, dude. Come on."
Yeah, but we did see what happens when you can't tackle in practice.
I mean, but everybody.
We saw a 50-yard run.
You have scrimmages. You might have one or two scrimmages where you full go. But that's it. You cannot do that every day.
It's possible that we get Goran Dragic on a contract year, though. Like, what if he just comes full bore and he's just, like, going after it? Because he can opt out, I mean, if he wants to.
I mean, he always goes all out. Like, to say he's going to turn it up, he's always going.
Well, don't forget, he's coming off an injury year. Like,
right,
he's looking to bounce back in a big way.
He's always, like, if you think about effort, that you never have to worry about effort with him.
No, what we usually have to worry about with Goran is basically he always seems weird in how he gets into shape. Like, it's always
box jumping.
Yeah, well, the box jumping.
In the woods.
In the woods. 1 year he plays for Slovenia, he's exhausted. 1 year he didn't play for Slovenia, so he wasn't in shape. Like, that's the one thing you can say with Goran. It seems like always takes him, like, a good, you know, couple months to get into shape. And the problem is this year was he didn't get those couple months because he was hurt basically right away. Stupid, stupid box jumping in the forest. Anyway, let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Okie dokie, the Miami Marlins did lose to the Brewers last night. 4-3 was the final, but the story out of that one was Christian Yelich fouling a ball into his knee and broke his kneecap.
Yeah,
and
Robbie.
Done for the year. Now, Robbie...
apologies.
Evidently, didn't think that was a serious thing.
It was a joke.
So
I've broken my knee.
He decided to say that.
Wait,
what?
Well, I dislocated. I didn't break it. I guess it moved in the other direction.
How?
Play basketball.
Hold on. No. Here's when people tell me stuff like this. Here's what I did. You need medical attention.
Yes.
What does ah yes mean?
Well, I mean, it was a trainer. It wasn't like an actual doctor. But yeah, like it was field day basketball in high school.
Same guy who's his barber.
Yeah, probably. He had to put my knee back into place in front of everybody.
And that was it?
Well, it was like 4 to 6 weeks of rehab. But yeah, it was the whole...
And the trainer is the guy who told you need 4 to 6?
No, different guy. That was a different
guy.
Just
such a crappy way to go down. You foul a ball off your knee. Like, it's not even like the guy hit you. You hit yourself. That sucks. What are the odds of that?
Could you imagine the columns if he actually got hit by a pitch?
Normally,
except to go what happened with Acuna.
Yeah, but normally when you foul a ball off, it goes off your ankle. That's why the guys wear or your shin.
Right. It's
like
hard
going
to
off going off
knee.
Your knee
means you were really, really early.
I mean, it was a slider.
I can't. Christian Yelich broke his kneecap. He's done for the year.
They just said done for the regular season, didn't they?
They said remainder of the season.
Yeah, oh, okay. They said remainder of the season. So
I guess
to me that counts.
I don't know. I guess if they make the World Series, maybe they'll come back. I don't know.
I don't know how long the recovery time.
The kneecap thing is it takes. A while.
Remember baseball, 8 months of an 8 month season with a 1 month postseason.
Correct,
makes all the sense in the world.
The big story, obviously, nationally, Antonio Brown, now a New England Patriot. Being accused in a South Florida court, a federal lawsuit by a female that is asserting that Antonio Brown sexually assaulted her. There's all sorts of odd details and mishigots with the story, but we will see what becomes of this. We'll see what the Patriots have to say.
Oh, I'm sure they have a lot to say.
You don't think it's a very verbose reaction?
Come on, man.
What do you think? Do you think Belichick does press today and he's asked about it?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
What do you think his answer is?
Oh, it's in the statement.
Did you get the statement?
Did you get the statement? It's in the statement. Like, it's 100% what's going to happen.
Guys from WE, I didn't get the statement.
What?
Let's see what else we got.
Later after the show today, there's going to be all these Sullys.
You think they're going to play him? We're going to have our little meeting. By the way, didn't talk enough Marlins. Didn't you play him? Sully! Are you okay?
I'm fine.
ESPN did that thing again.
I think you might need to go get checked for that.
For what?
Like the mood swings, the...
You might need some pills.
No, you might... We might start calling him Split.
Maybe I'm like Dennis Rodman, man. Maybe I'm just unhappy inside. Felt bad for him at the you know how the spoiler alert. This is how the 30 for 30 ends yesterday.
Yeah,
and he goes. I'm one of the top 10 most famous people on the planet. But I'm sad. And it cuts.
I ain't like it.
It just fades to black. That's it.
I ain't like it.
Oh, him and his googly eyes. There is no more powerful emoji than the googly eye emoji, though.
Oh, Rob Gronkowski.
You want to just start some bleep?
He's 180 pounds.
Watch right now. I will tweet out a googly eye emoji.
Yeah.
There will be a dozen Heat fans who think that I have Bradley Beal information.
But you're a journalist.
Don't you have to like reply to a tweet with googly eyes?
Nope. You could just put he didn't. He just put googly eyes.
But it came around the time they traded Demaryius Thomas.
I'm telling you.
Like it was a reactionary tweet.
You could put out googly eyes for anything. People want to know what's up with you. Like, what do you got as news?
What if you do it, I do it? Well, I would say Leroy would do it, but he doesn't do social media, so.
Yeah. I do.
And by the way,
we get the notification. Leroy has not tweeted in a long time.
I was feeling good. Look, I just ate my wings. I had a beverage.
And he tweeted the most wrong thing.
And your take was stupid in 15 minutes.
Or some of Yelich's take, I would say.
No.
Stop trying to defend yourself.
Well, you closed down your Twitter 2 years ago.
No, yeah. He still has his burner.
I don't have a burner.
You have a burner.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You don't have at least one just to scout?
Well, you don't need it. You can just Google search anyone's Twitter. Like, you do that for Barry Jackson all the time.
Can you? I feel like there's some restrictions.
You probably can't see the you probably can't see the replies back and forth, but you can see original tweets that he makes.
All right.
ESPN did that thing where they do the top 100 college football teams.
They do this stupid list every year.
Every year. Like, maybe twice a year.
As soon as you guys sent it to me, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I feel like we do the 0-1 Canes team is disrespected list. I feel like we do that show annually. Because there's always a list.
0-1 Canes team was ranked number 7.
Hot garbage.
Behind, I had a couple 70s Nebraska teams.
Behind number 6, 2005, Texas.
That team was good.
2018, Clemson.
Prisoner of the moment a little bit.
15-0, but
hey,
come on.
Can I see what those guys turn into? Like, I feel like part of the resume is knowing what those guys eventually are.
Number four, 1995, Nebraska. So I saw them up in close and personal, but they had Lawrence Phillips.
Hey, but are they
people don't realize because Nebraska is a clown show right now. But
no, that team,
so are the Canes.
That team was really good, but again, like Lawrence Phillips,
but is Clemson,
Tommy Frazier, like.
Is Clemson getting the jump on the Canes because they have the extra game because of the playoffs?
Yeah, they went 15-0.
They also are more recent. 1972 USC, great team, I'm sure. 2004 USC, that team all got penalized.
How can that team be on the list? That team didn't happen.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the number one team.
That's what they tell me. Remember?
1971 Nebraska.
Hold on.
What?
Should you be saying that being a Canes fan?
I don't think the Canes had wins vacated.
No.
No.
I'm just saying.
No.
Like, I'm just saying.
It's yours truly.
Hey, Twitter world.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Twitter world.
You point the finger at somebody else, and Miami's always in some stuff, too.
No. Not that kind of stuff. Not like Reggie Bush house stuff.
I'm just saying that
we just had yachts and strippers. Totally different.
I just think it's funny because if they're wiping you from the record books, you should be wiped from these lists. That's what they said.
Let's go.
What's fair is fair.
At some point, we will have to do a how many Hall of Famers from each team and then go from
there.
That's
a different conversation, though.
No.
That's a different conversation.
Kirk Herbstreit yesterday on SportsCenter, when they brought up this list, he said Kane's number one.
And by the way, not Nebraska team, that number one team.
That's because he went to Ohio State. He felt sorry.
It says they only played like two ranked opponents. That 71 Nebraska team. That's ranked number one.
71.
Get out of here.
You must have been so happy because you love talking about 70s football. You're like, you Canes fans, you don't even count the 70s. You're right.
I have a question. I'm not trying to throw shade at Michigan because obviously the Canes are in a worse place, but what's the best Michigan team on that list? I don't think I could find one. I'm just asking a question.
Here we go.
Did any of your teams make the list, Leroy?
No. No, because most of these teams won a national championship.
I mean, they have 150 teams, and not all of them.
Miami made it three times in the top 20.
I would say if 2001 and...
No, 96 Michigan.
Isn't it funny, though, because like you could argue that some of the talent
the
on...
The top Michigan team is 1997 Michigan.
That's what it
Charles
was.
Woodson, Greasy.
Yeah, that's that team.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, though, with these lists, like the Canes, like it's the same team. And I know the results matter, but you're talking about one game being the difference on like what the ranking of a team is, and it's basically the same roster, even with some more Hall of Famers. Like you look at the Sugar Bowl team that won.
Oh no, the 2000 team arguably was more talented than the 2001.
2002.
Well, the 2000 team you had Dan Morgan and Damian Lewis and a bunch of guys. Santana Moss and Reggie Wayne. But on the next year, you had Antrell Roll and Sean Taylor and Kellen Winslow, who we don't speak of now, but. You know.
Why don't y'all speak of him? He got some issues, but he still was a hell of a college football player.
Well, old ladies, man.
I didn't say that he don't have problems. What I said was, what does that have to do?
You had that Home Depot parking lot situation.
Does Stephen Ross surprisingly have swaggering nipples? That's next. Guys, join the Beast at Arrigo Margate this Friday afternoon from 5 to 7 p.m. He'll be out there with the ticket promo team. He'll be giving out prizes, talking Canes. It's Beast at Arrigo Margate, 2250 North State Road 7 in Margate from 5 to 7 this Friday. It's brought to you by AM790, FM 104.3, HD2, The Ticket. So, I wonder if Stephen Ross has a little bit of swaggering nipples going on, Leroy. Here's what I mean by that. There's an interesting article put out by Armando Salguero today that reminded everybody how much Chris Greer wanted to take Minkah Fitzpatrick last year. And apparently, according to a source, tells Salguero, Greer even told Ross that he was picking Fitzpatrick, and if the owner wanted to fire him, he could fire him. Now, the reason this is interesting is because Ross, remember there was that story last year about Ross wanting to trade back, that there weren't any players that he was super interested in
and
at that point of the draft.
And
so, he wanted them to trade back, get more picks, and then be later and maybe even take Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And this past weekend, he got lit up.
So,
by Lamar
So you're saying that the owner minus one Chris Greer?
I'm saying if you're the owner, because everybody says, you know, with Stephen Ross, not a football guy.
Googly eye emoji?
Googly eye emoji, yeah. Like if Stephen Ross had Twitter, he'd put that out there. But I'm saying, like, Stephen Ross has been known as a guy, not a guy who's known for his football wit. Everybody always says that. Let the football people do it. And he actually kind of had a sound plan. Like, with all the – Robbie said 14 needs last year going into the draft. And Stephen Ross was like, yeah, he's right. Needs. We have needs. And one of those needs was quarterback.
Right.
And so he saw a quarterback that he was interested in, and that was Lamar Jackson, hometown guy. And a couple of things went into this. One, maybe you did have an offensive coach at the time of this draft, and we know that Adam Gase wouldn't have the guts to coach Lamar Jackson. Let's be honest. Project like that, all the coaching that he has to put into it, extra work.
Is it a project? Because I don't get the feeling that, like,
I think he probably thought it was a project.
Like, hold on. You're making it seem like a project like what Tim Tebow was.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, oh, he's going to have to do so much.
Hold on. I wanted the Jaguars to draft Lamar Jackson.
But you're making it sound like they would have had to do so much work to get him.
No, I'm not thinking that. I think the coaches thought that. Remember all the stuff going into that draft? People were like, oh, maybe you should be a wide receiver. Maybe you should be a running back.
No, that was one guy.
No, it was Bill Polian, but I mean, like, there were people that wanted to try him out at wide receiver at the draft combine.
Right.
But I think that they didn't make they weren't going to make that move because Adam Gase is gutless and he wouldn't try and coach anybody.
I would say this is that if you know what you know now and the moves that they were making that they're making now, it would have been pretty good to get as many picks as possible, and you could have started that last year and got a quarterback.
Yep.
So based on what they're doing now, Stephen Ross was right.
Yes.
Okay. Especially if, and I'm not saying that Minkah Fitzpatrick is not a good player, but what I'm saying is sometimes based on what you do and what is his wheelhouse and what he does best on the football field doesn't match.
I think if you're Stephen Ross, though, and you watch what happened on the football field, Minkah Fitzpatrick, it's highly unlikely that Minkah Fitzpatrick is ever going to be the difference between you being a perennial playoff team or not. And Lamar Jackson can be.
Well, unless you're a Russian, you really can't be anyway.
Yeah.
So, because
I mean, how many special, like Ed Reed, Earl Thomas,
but
like,
still
how many?
not gonna be. Still, without a pass rush, those guys are just average.
Yeah, both of those guys flourished in crazy good defenses.
Right.
Crazy good defenses.
And so, from that standpoint, it's hard to get. a position that he's dependent on other things that you don't have.
Right. You're right. It doesn't mean he can't be an awesome player, but there needs to be so many more voids, as Robbie said, Mr. Needs says. There needs to be, I guess on that side of the football, would it be 10 other needs, Robbie, for him to be the best Minka he can be.
Right.
And while that's true for quarterback, the quarterback still has more control than a free safety
does.
Right.
And keep in mind, look, we do this a lot. I don't know whether you're excited about the draft pick or you're trying to justify the pick that they just made. In any event, we all seem pretty satisfied with Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
When he got here.
When he got here.
And we're all kind of going back after what Lamar Jackson did. We knew what his issues were coming out too. So if you're a young team, the safest bet would have been Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
If you're in a position, say if you had a quarterback that you were going to have for 2 or 3 years, then it would be, you know, good to kind of make that investment in the future.
Well, Minka's going to have a tough time with this if there are struggles that he deals with, because he's one of the few players on the team that actually has expectations from the fans. And I don't know how fair that is or not, but there's not many other people to go to point the finger at and say, like, hey, what's going on with these struggles, man? And you're going to break down what he says and says, oh, what do you mean the coaches didn't put you in a good position? Because, like, who else are you going to do that with?
Well, here's the you know, the problem with football, especially football, more unlike any other sport. Minka's success is dependent upon what the front seven do. And if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback and you're not able to – he's got to cover for far too long.
Right.
Okay? You see the pass completed, you don't add all that other stuff in there. You just see Minka chasing. So without really having an idea of why it's going sideways, I will tell you that a DB, in most cases, if you look at a good DB or a Pro Bowl DB, usually had a great pass rush. You very seldom see a Pro Bowler from a team giving up 30.
Yeah. So, no, that's true. Like, even Jalen Ramsey was great his rookie year, but you didn't notice him as elite until they got Calais Campbell.
Right, right. So it's hard, and there's a lot of positions like that on the football field that we just look at the guy as an individual without realizing he is a product to some extent of what's going on with the rest of that unit.
Yeah. Well, it's just tough, too, because – first round picks down here have kind of just been chewed up and spit out so quickly as far as people writing them off. Rightfully so for a couple. I mean, like, you know, Deion Jordan quickly realized this wasn't going to work out. Devontae Parker, we're still trying to see. I mean, awesome catch this week, by the way. I mean, it was one of his most impressive games as a Dolphin, sad enough as that is. But many people have moved on from having any expectations of him. Charles Harris. Does anybody even think about Charles Harris on the Dolphins anymore?
Nope.
Like, not really. So, if you're Minka...
Not when your team gives up 59!
Right.
But they didn't get any pressure.
I mean, I saw him part of it. I saw him in the preseason this year, and I was like, oh, look at Charles Harris. He's doing things. But he's not doing things. He's not.
Somebody said, Leroy, can't the same thing be said about with the quarterback and offensive line? How would Jackson have done with the crap offensive line we
Ooh.
Had?
It's fair, but
true. It's fair. Like, but I've said this. I've been saying this for years. It's hard to evaluate any one position when, as a unit or as a team, the team is not that good.
But you can get more evaluation on a guy who has his hands on the ball every snap.
Look, the Hulk said it best. Just because you change your past doesn't mean you change your future. If you go back in time and the Dolphins draft Lamar Jackson,
who said that?
The Hulk in the Last Avengers movie. Science.
That was beautiful. What did he say?
If you just because you change your past doesn't mean you can change your future.
Thank you, Bruce Banner.
I want to hit him so bad. What are you?
You science.
I thought you guys would like that. You love the comic book.
No,
movies.
No, we do. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, but
look,
when I go for
when
like
you start next thing you know, you're
gonna deep.
Be quoting Mickey Mouse or something, a cartoon.
You have anything from Fantasia?
I know, I got no quotes from Aquaman because that movie sucked.
They're making a second one?
What? They are?
Are they? Are they? I'm asking.
Pitbull coming out with the Africa remix.
They just make it. They're basically just making an eye candy superhero movie.
I'm not gonna lie. That
they can make five Wonder Womans though.
That Ariel. That Ariel sidekick. I was smitten with her.
Yeah, she was
the redhead.
Yeah,
oh,
I liked
her. Yeah.
She was good looking.
Yeah.
That was about the only thing though. And then you not knowing Nicole Kidman was CGI'd young.
Hey, hey, that looks like Nicole Kidman. Hey. Yeah, because it is. No, it's not.
Billy Bob turns behind and goes, really?
Hey, that earth creeping down over
no,
there.
No, you were. He wasn't him there for that one.
No, but I saw the side eye guy. He was just like turned around like, oh, really? It looks like Nicole Kidman? Wonder why. But even if this story is the case, which I believe it to be, does Ross send a text? Does like Chris Greer try and avoid him like this? Like, does it look at him?
Well, you know, the last time somebody tried to avoid the owner, what happened?
Oh, he got fired.
Yeah, it's not.
He's coaching the Jets and being told to grow up.
Well, look, one of the things that you have to understand is that good or bad, you got to have these conversations, right? And part of having that job is when the owner comes to him with, we should have did what I, and then you justify why you went a different route. Like, it's easy. You can't have an organization where after the fact you looking back and saying we should have did something different. You have to look at, are we making sound decisions at that moment?
Right, but with that being the case, you're going into a year where you're supposed to trust Chris Greer to be in charge of the rebuild, and the first evidence you have of the year after these guys are drafted is Lamar Jackson throwing for 5 touchdowns and Minka chasing everybody all over the field.
Well, look, and somebody, you know, got on me yesterday for calling Minka a tweener. And what I'm going to tell you is that this is why I feel that way. I don't really think he's fast enough to play corner, right? And he's not big enough to play safety, but he's a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
And so they move him around as to not get him picked on, okay? But for some reason, they found a way to isolate him and make him run. And if you notice, it only looked bad because they had one of the fastest guys in the league.
Oh, he's so fast.
That he was chasing.
His cousin's coming to town this weekend.
And that's never going to happen that often. So he's going to look better. And just because he's dealing with a different type of offense, and he's dealing with a different guy, don't.
Might be the best receiving family of all time. I mean, I know it's only been 1 week, but I mean, it's a good resume.
I mean, that guy can be fast anywhere. He's fat. Like, wow. He is fast.
Back after this. Welcome back. Hard times, man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Steven Ross definitely has to send an I told you so text to Chris Greer, though. That definitely happened.
A minus one.
Yeah, maybe a minus one. Maybe just a gif.
And then Chris Greer responds with the Hulk line that I gave.
I'll tell you what, the one thing with the Chris Greer story that I find interesting, if true, which I don't doubt to believe, because you know, Sagar was reputable with is that the right word? Reputable with
reputable, yeah.
With Dolphins reporting, and as a fellow journalist, I can relate. I think the thing I find interesting about it is we just are coming off a story. I think Barry Jackson who reported it, where basically Chris Greer is deferring a lot of his decisions to Brian Flores. So it's kind of interesting that in, I guess, 18 months time, we have a story where he's so passionate about taking Minka Fitzpatrick that he's willing to tell Ross, you can fire me if I mess this up. Or you can fire me after I make this pick if you disagree with it so much.
Sounds like straight out of Draft Day, the movie.
Yeah.
Give me 5 minutes.
And then we have a story of Chris Greer's basically just doing whatever Flores wants. And so I just find that interesting. Like, all right, well, is he super stuck in his way guy? Or is he guy who is deferring too much? Because that was kind of the inkling that people had dealing with the Dolphins. It's kind of just Flores' show and Chris Greer's rolling with the punches, but that's not a guy who rolls with the punches.
Here's the problem, and here's why it may be that way. Look at the situation they put that man in.
Flores?
Yeah. So you kind of almost have to make him an active participant, right?
I mean, what, I guess, but what's the participation right now? That guy's terrible. That guy's terrible. That guy's terrible.
But just the decisions that they make on how they go about rebuilding this roster.
Yeah.
You know, so from that standpoint, yeah, you almost have to do it that way. I'd be interested in knowing what did Brian Flores think.
As far as
the pick. I guess I don't know.
He wasn't here. He was at the Patriots.
He wasn't here yet.
Yeah, this was back. This was two years ago.
So, still be interested about what he thinks. Because, you know, as the texter just pointed out, they're going to isolate Minka with all them crossing routes. You think he's chasing now?
Yeah. Well, that's why that, but that's also why I think this is a hard year for him, because he's the only guy we're going to be watching with a real critical eye on that.
The only
defense.
Guy we really know. And
I mean, Xavien Howard, some, but Xavien Howard to a degree is proven. I mean, he's made a Pro Bowl. He has a big contract. Yes, that comes with expectations, but I would say most people have an idea of what he is as a player than they do Minka Fitzpatrick.
And it's also easier, believe it or not, for Xavien Howard. He's not all over the place. He's mostly on the outside.
Yeah.
He's not up near the line of scrimmage, moving around deep, checking tight ends, playing the middle of the field. Minka has a little bit more on his plate. I mean, going into this season, it was like, hey, we got Minka.
Better Fitzpatrick on the team, Ryan or Minka?
Before week one, I would have told you easily Minka. But
I'm still going Minka. Yeah.
I'll allow it. That doesn't cross the oath. It's just an opinion.
It's a question. It's a question.
Just a question. Just a fair
Flores
question.
Flores is Leroy's new Tannehill. We'll defend him no matter what. Man,
there's nothing not to defend right now, though.
Right.
I mean, yes, a debut of giving up 59 points when defense is your calling card, not great. Right. But it is 1 week.
It's only going to get worse.
How much are you expecting him to do with this defense? Like me personally, I said the only thing that I hope to see and what would be an improvement is even if they get beat because they're not as athletic or as physical, I can deal with that. But if everybody's in the right place, if the defense looks, you know, just better as a whole – and after the first week, I'm like, there were guys wide open.
I think the thing that when you made the point that it was that this defense, you should have the expectation that they're not going to get out coached and that they should perform well in that situation. The only thing you just look at the roster and you wonder with, you mentioned this last segment about it being contingent on other guys. I just don't know who on that front four can cause any disruption for the team. And I think that is just a hard place to come from.
Right. I mean, you know what I mostly do? Like, when I watch football in general, like, as far as the front seven, I don't even watch who's doing what. You just time it. If you're at home, time it. If that guy has 4 or 5 seconds to throw the football, that's a fail on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
Because your secondary can't cover. Nobody can get cover for 5 seconds secondary.
And that was the thing that was interesting about Lamar Jackson is –
he was standing like a statue back there.
Right, and you go into a game thinking the danger is his feet, and it didn't even have to be because nobody could touch him.
Right.
Nobody. So we didn't even have to see that be an option for a guy who's the best running quarterback in the league. Like, that's what's crazy about it. He's just sitting back there like, la-di-da.
I mean,
and the one time he was rushed.
You know when a quarterback's standing in perfect, like, looks like a statue, just perfect, scanning the field. Like, you know, if he's doing camp.
Yep.
Like, you drop back. I'm like, holy smokes. Like,
he was playing 7-on-7. It was like flag football.
And the one time he was rushed, I don't even think he saw where he was throwing. Lamar Jackson just throws it up in the end zone. Like, I don't even think he was looking at the receiver. Sure enough, the guy's there, touchdown.
He's right there, touchdown. Nothing went wrong for the Ravens. They'll never have a game that good. I can't say the Dolphins won't have a game that bad.
I mean,
they'll have a repeat on Sunday.
Like, there's two words that tell you they'll probably not have another day like that. Franchise record. like, if you say, how many times during the course of that game you say, that's a franchise record? That means it's probably not going to happen again.
648 yards. It's college stats.
No, Miami didn't have that many.
Just everything was broken.
Right.
Football was broken.
Right. And so going into this week, I think, like, the only thing I'm disappointed in is I kind of got the I kind of went into the season with the attitude, at least everybody would know what they're doing. There won't be any mental mistakes. And that wasn't the case.
I'll tell you what else you have to factor. I think this Dan Belichick and this Brady, they want to end this little we stink in Miami narrative.
Perfect slump buster for that.
Perfect slump buster. Like, they're like, oh, we lost in that stupid Miami Miracle last year where Gronk was face planted.
No, where Gronk was playing DB.
No, that will not happen again. Even like Belichick mentioning it in the conference call, you're like, oh man, it kind of feels like he's coming for blood. Just, it's like one of those things where, look, they haven't won in Foxborough since the damn Wildcat game.
How about this hot take? I kind of feel sorry for the Ravens quarterback. He probably thinks that this is how it's going to be from here on out, and he's going to get his ass handed to him this weekend.
Who do they play this weekend?
And they're at home against the Cardinals. They're big favorites. They're 13-point favorites.
Maybe. Oh, wait. Revenge game? T-Sizzle?
Oh, back in Baltimore.
I cannot believe you guys didn't go with the Ravens game.
Oh, man, I hope they take that in Doom Picks now.
Oh, yeah, that would be.
He's a mouth breather. T-Sizzle. Breathe like Darth Vader.
It's a fun quarterback matchup, though. Like, now I'm excited to see it. Two guys who have the strongest wrists in the game. They just flick it up there.
Tell me you weren't amazed at how the different angles little fella was throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It was amazing. On a dime, very accurate. I was impressed.
Well,
especially because he started so poorly.
Yeah, what did he have? He had four balls batted or three balls batted?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem.
That stuff's weird. But like, remember Tannehill had that. Like,
Tannehill's like 6'5".
His first game, he's 6'5". Although he was going
to be. You used to say that about Osweiler.
I think
you going to be 6'8"? Your ball's getting batted to your face.
Well, wasn't Tannehill's first game, was it against J.J. Watt?
Yeah, it was.
Like, I feel like J.J. Watt just was a monster at that all year and just is. So that's a tough first get. That was like when Jake Long, I think his second game, went against Jonathan Abraham and just ate him up for lunch. Give him all the spin moves, anything that you could just dish at the rookie and he could do nothing about it. But yeah, I mean, he's still fun. Like, if you're a Cardinals fan and you're seeing that Josh Rosen isn't beating out Ryan Fitzpatrick, whatever the reasons are, and you have that game from Kyler Murray, yeah, they're feeling good about it. I mean,
Just one week in? I honestly think that it was just they wanted to make the coach as comfortable as possible, and they really didn't lose a lot by getting rid of Josh Rosen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, you're going to bring that coach in, but I don't think they feel one way or another about, oh, Josh Rosen was a bum.
Not a bum, but I think they feel better about the decision.
Especially if they get anything from Andy Isabella, who they traded him for.
All right. O.J. Simpson.
No, is he?
He may have had his greatest Twitter performance yet.
He should wear a t-shirt and say, I am clearly unaware.
That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.